Thought there'd be music here.
Hey.
I don't know where the music is.
We did go to the bullpen, by the way.
Nick Grimm is in the house.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
All right. So is our good friend, Jacob Bigelow. He is now in the house. Good Monday morning.
Hello, hello. Good morning. How'd the weekend treat y'all?
A little mixed bag. Of course, we were all impacted in some way on Friday, and we've kind of, for day three, started a move forward, but thanks for asking.
You and your family safe, Jacob? Everybody good?
Everyone's good on my end. My parents were a couple, they were close to the Elkhorn, Bennington area, but thankfully they did not see any damage. So thankful for that, but also, still thinking of those impacted in, Elkhorn, Bennington. I know folks up in Blair, especially, that had some rough damage as well. So obviously still thinking of those folks.
Hey, how do we announce for people that don't know already that Anthony Edwards has arrived in the NBA?
Just show them the highlight reel from last night. Just show them the highlight reel. It felt like a pretty big moment for him, and obviously, for the Timberwolves, it's their first playoff series win in 20 years, so obviously a big moment for the franchise as well. But if you don't know Anthony Edwards, one, watch his highlight reel on the court. Two, watch a highlight reel of him off the court. Some of the quotes he gives, whether it's just in interviews or in press conferences. There's a lot to love about that dude. His personality, the way he plays. I'm a big fan of it, and it felt like his so far signature moment in the league last night.
Well, okay, so the way that series is maybe fitting on both accounts, on the Wolves count and especially Anthony Edwards, but also on how disappointing the Suns were, I think it was game one where he hits the big three against KD. He's kind of talking a little trash. That gets a little bit of run. And then the dunk yesterday to bookend that series that way where Anthony Edwards, and also when only guarded by Bradley Beal, I saw this stat, which I thought was impressive, 17 of 31 for 51 points. Is that all you really need to say about that series in general?
For the most part, yeah. Up until last night, Devin Booker and KD had not played like stars. Obviously, Devin Booker played like a star last night. KD definitely was, he's got a lot to look at after that series. But that series meant a lot to Ant, because of how he views Kevin Durant. He has, said at length that, Kevin Durant is the player he's watched the most of, tries to take the most after. And then they're going to be on the Olympic team together this summer. And he said, can't wait to play with him this summer and still talk a little trash and remind him that I sent him home. So it's the whole, the rise of Anthony Edwards and this Timberwolves team combined with how disappointing, the Suns trio especially was throughout the series. That's the story.
Hey, we have three more days of Portal Combat to players put their name in. They don't have to decide by May 1, but they have to be in by May 1. So we got three more days. On the heels of what happened yesterday with a local product, John Tanji from Omaha Central, who has had quite the career. I still think he was so under-recruited coming out of high school, but he's finally getting to play at the level that I think he should have been playing at. He was all set to go to New Mexico. He was at Mizzou last year. He went from Colorado State to Mizzou. Now he wanted to go to New Mexico and has done an about-face, and he is going to Wisconsin. So whether it be a bigger bag, tampering, whatever it is, we've heard all kinds of stories. What do you think we've learned about the college basketball world, locally and nationally, in this go-around with the portal / NIL having a prominent place?
Well, nationally, it is a wild state of affairs, to put it lightly. I watched John at length when he was in high school at Central, and provided some feedback to the staff that initially recruited him out of high school, knowing that staff pretty well out in Fort Collins. But to see that quick little about face, he hasn't officially, I don't think he's officially put out the commitment yet, but that is to be expected. But this sentence is kind of all you need to hear. There's going to be four Metro Omaha products playing Big Ten basketball next year. None of them are going to be playing for the Big Ten team in the state of Nebraska. But between, you know, John at Wisconsin, Frankie at Michigan State, Will Kyle at UCLA, and St. Thomas at USC, that's you know, pretty good look at the, you know, the run of talent that you know, has been through the metro, you know, these last couple years.
Gary brought this up last week about Fred, his staff, and their ability to get the local guy, whether it be a high school traditional recruit or the transfer portal addition. Where are you with Fred, his staff, and their, I know the results aren't great right now, but their overall attempts, their plan, and their ability to at least give that recruit or that member of the transfer portal something to strongly consider when it comes to Lincoln?
I think they give a good, you know, good pitch and strong things to consider, but I think that, you know, there isn't really an allure of home with Nebraska basketball to you know, that hasn't been, you know, we've seen it with Josiah Alec and Sam Griesel being Lincoln kids, obviously, but you know, it doesn't have that same, you know, impact on Omaha kids. I mean, I was told, you know, within the last couple of years, you know, by a family member of, you know, a local recruit, that, you know, Nebraska going into certain parts of Omaha, they might as well be Texas Tech or Arkansas. I mean, they're just coaches wearing red polos when they're, you know, coming into Omaha. There isn't that same, you know, allure. Obviously, you know, they've had a really good year this past year, and, you know, they've put a lot of energy and effort into, you know, building relationships with high school coaches, high school recruits. They've, you know, put a pretty big press on Amari Bynum, you know, who will be playing at Lincoln Academy next year. But, you know, it's still a process to, you know, rebuild relationships and bridges and all that, with, you know, with you know, how the first few years went, combined with the talent that was in the area at that time. It's still, you know, an uphill battle, you know, to, you know, make that pitch to local kids.
Okay, so I'm gonna be on the other side of this. The guys that you mentioned that are playing in the Big Ten, what was their recruiting like out of high school? I mean, some of those guys didn't have any Power 6 offers. So it wasn't like Nebraska was supposed to. Here's the thing that I'm finding out. And I'm not fighting with you. I'm gonna stand up because Chucky had no interest. Frankie went ghost town. They really went hard after William Kyle. They went in home. They had started to build a relationship. At the end of the day, Nebraska basketball is what it is. This year, they had a great year. They won 23 games, got the NCAA tournament. They lost a guy to UCLA. UCLA has a couple of trophies. They lost a guy to Tom Izzo, who have gone to the NCAA tournament 26 straight years. Until they start to stack consistent success, you're right. You can't walk into Nebraska and go, "We're Nebraska." They're going to go, "Huh?" Yeah. Winning is everything. So, but would you agree with this? And we're in this run of some really good players here in the metro, like some dudes that, again, should have been recruited more heavily out of high school, but they're getting their opportunities to play Power 6. Is Fred Hoiberg and Nate Lesner have done a better job in the last couple of years of recognizing the impact and the importance of Omaha basketball? That for the next wave that is coming, and there's going to be a little bit of a quiet period here of those, man, that's an Amari Bynum, that they've at least established, hey, we're here. While we take care of our stuff, I want you to know that we're still paying attention to you.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and all the credit in the world to Nate, especially. I mean, he has been out and about. You know, he is very visible. High school games. I feel like he, you know, takes up residency at the Holiday Tournament every winter since he's got there. He's going to be there from, you know, start to finish every day. So all the credit in the world, you know, to Nate and to Fred. You know, they're definitely much more visible, and they've put in the work, you know, relationship building, you know, even like you said, when it may be a down period of, you know, no surefire, you know, power conference guys. And then I also agree with what you said before. You know, the guys being under recruited. I mean, I completely agree. And that now they're getting their chance to shine on the big stage. You know, guys like Frankie and Will, and they earned it. They've put in the work. From their time in high school to now to develop their games and get the opportunities they're about to have this coming year.
Jacob, obviously, coaches are going to be judged a lot more this time of the year because of the transfer portal, what you do to address your roster and in any need that you have. Kind of the same question, but with Nebraska right now, with what they added and what they missed out on, is this just a mixed bag? Do you slant one way or the other of good as opposed to disappointing? Where are you at with it?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag for me. I'd more trend toward good. Mm-hmm. They still have the three spots to work with. I think they'll still try to fill two of those three. Obviously, they have the Washington transfer Braxton. I think it's Mia on campus right now, the 7-footer. So we'll see how that goes. Obviously, good to get him on campus for the visit. I think they'll try to fill two of the three spots. Right now I tend toward, good. I'm not, obviously blown away with what they've done. I wouldn't say it's, bad by any means, but there's some to like about, what they've done. I mean, like I said last week, I really like the addition of Worcester. I'm interested to see what they do, with guys like Asijan and Griffiths. They're guys who want to take and make threes, and they're playing for a coach who knows a thing or two about taking and making threes. So maybe they'll, get some work on their shot, and, we'll go from there. But, right now I'd say it's a mixed bag in my book.
Jacob Bigelow joining us here on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. You can follow Jacob on Twitter at Jacob A. Bigelow. So Robin was the first to mention that Braxton Mia, the 7-footer from Washington, was on campus. Seems to be a depth guy. So what you just said about the general feel about Nebraska's construction of the roster for 24-25, and, they haven't gotten a banger where you went, oh boy, that is on the level of a Williams and Mast from last year. At least that's my opinion. But is it say something to you? Because I've always thought, Jacob, Fred pays a lot more attention to the top half of his roster than the bottom. Like, I'm just worried about my top six. The rest of you guys, you're interchangeable. That maybe Fred, as he's kind of evolved and figured out Nebraska, has started to pay more attention to spots 7, 8, 9, and 10. Those aren't the ones we get all sexy feels about, but that might actually show, okay, we're looking at this different on how we're building our roster. So maybe that leads to a little bit of hesitancy going, man, I thought Nebraska might be in Rothstein's top 45, and I can't find him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's definitely, I would agree with that. They want to, they got lucky this past year. They didn't have any, long-term, extended injuries from any, major contributors. Obviously, Mass was dealing with the, knee issue throughout the season. But, obviously, you need to, you obviously aren't going to, look too hard at the, the bottom of the roster. But, they're really high on, Aaron Ulis, who was running scout team for most of the year, wasn't able to play this past year. They're really high on him still, and obviously, they're awaiting, final, all the weirdness going on with lawsuits and legal stuff over in Iowa to get the, final decision on his eligibility. But they're still really high on him. He was running the scout team most of last year, and obviously, you can, keep tabs on, guys lower on the depth chart, their development, and, next man up if somebody goes down or somebody gets into foul trouble. And that's something that would be very beneficial for Nebraska to keep focusing on.
Hey, isn't it interesting in the portal time now is we probably sometimes forget about who's on campus. Like, Nebraska is returning Bryce Williams. They are returning Juwan Gary. They are returning one-legged Rink Mast.
So true.
They've got a really good shooter from Wisconsin coming in. I think the same thing about Creighton. People have gotten excited this week because, it's been a little bit quieter on the Hilltop, but they add Neal, they get Pop Isaacs, and you forget, hey, they got three really good freshmen coming in. Kalkbrenner, yay or nay. They got Ashworth, they got Jason Green. Isn't it interesting how we tend to forget about the guys that are on campus in the portal world and focus more on the six that are joining than the six that are here, especially if the six are from a team that was like in the NCAA tournament?
That's definitely interesting because, I mean, you talk to some Nebraska fans and they're saying, oh, we still need a go-to, wing scorer. And I'm like, you got one. His name's Bryce Williams. Yeah. He's sitting on your roster. You may have mixed feelings on how he was this past year, but I think it's pretty clear they're going to give the keys to him and, be able to, let it become his team. People will say, oh, we need the Casey replacement. We need dead-eye three-point shooter. I'm like, I think they may have gotten one, and they stole him right from under Greg Gard's nose up in Wisconsin. I don't know if he's going to contribute too much as a true freshman, but his former high school teammate, Milan Milicevic, over at Iowa State, he contributed as a true freshman this past year. So maybe Nick Janowski will be able to do the same too for Nebraska. But no, it's definitely interesting, how people can forget about the players that are already sure things for next season.
I feel like throughout the season we had this conversation a lot about Bryce Williams, what he is, how he finished this season, and what he needs to be, in your opinion, Jacob, is what? Is it just consistency? What does it need to look like for him to be that reliable, every night go-to guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's consistency. It's, aggressiveness. And I think with, I think with how the roster looks right now and the departures from this past season, I mean, I think the path is there for it to, be Bryce Williams' team. I have, owned a healthy amount of stock in him, since he first committed, last year. And I think it's just going to be a consistency thing. It's going to be a big summer for him development-wise, too. I'm sure he'll be, getting his work in with the coaching staff and, with, trainers and all that to, hopefully take a jump and, take the next step. But, it's just a consistency thing for me, in my opinion.
One final one to get you out here as we talk to Jacob Bigelow. Have you seen any, other than crystal balls and discussion, like Igor Milicic is attached to Tennessee? Anything official?
Nothing official.
Isn't that weird?
No. It's a little odd. They added Felix Okpara last week, the Ohio State transfer, and some people thought that meant they were out with Igor, but I had to remind people, I'm like, they're two really different positions, not positions, different players. Igor will want to play out on the perimeter. Okpara, we saw what he looked like trying to run around on the perimeter when Frank Mass torched him in Lincoln. So two pretty different players, but it was kind of assumed that Tennessee was the leader for him, but if not, seen an official commitment or anything of that nature yet. Just kind of still waiting on that.
All right, hey, great stuff. Enjoy the basketball tonight and for the rest of the week. The NBA playoffs are good. The Nuggets Wolves series might be entertaining. Maybe.
No, I would go beyond maybe. I think that'll be pretty exciting. I will hopefully be able to catch the end of Celtics Heat tonight once we wrap up softball.
But what time is game tonight?
We're 6:15 tonight. So,
okay, early. All right.
Yeah, we got the early slot tonight. But
how's everybody feeling?
Yeah, feeling all right.
Good.
We're gonna be down a couple guys tonight. But that helps. We have 14 guys usually. We'll have 11 tonight. So we'll be
challenged.
We'll see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to the next couple of days.
Did you move up in the lineup at least?
We haven't had a lineup drop yet. I don't know. All I know is I won't be hitting 14th because we won't have 14 guys.
Oh, you guys bet everybody?
Yeah, everybody.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah. Everybody gets to hit. So
good.
Your parents are happy. good luck. Good luck tonight. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
That's Jacob Bigelow, our good friend that joins us every, and I mean every Monday. Jacob does not miss.
Nope.
You can follow him on Twitter, Jacob A. Bigelow, and the Stretch Big Pod, which has good stuff on it. Before we get to Amy Justin, the next segment, the Mr. Television guy, he's a blogger. He likes television. Matt Sarziniak, I believe is how you pronounce his last name.
Okay.
But he's the guy that has a handle along with Marchand and Richard Deitch on the college football TV world. So once all the spring games are done, he predicts where games are going to go because that's the next step is the TV assignments will start to come out. We'll start to get a kickoff or two here in the next like 2 or 3 weeks, because we are 123 days away from UTEP, Nebraska. So between now and then, really nothing matters in life. He has predicted the UTEP game will be on NBC. Nighttime game, 6:30.
Okay.
You may have mentioned that here, where I thought that would be a night game.
Yeah.
Colorado on CBS at 2:30. And then Northern Iowa on Peacock at 2:30.
Mm.
If that holds true, that's a good deal for Nebraska. They get the game on Peacock out of the way. It's Northern Iowa.
Yeah, that's good.
They get Colorado on CBS, which is a great 2:30. That window is awesome. And then started off on Labor Day weekend with UTEP on Big NBC. Big NBC.
I still want to see Eagle the Nebraska-Colorado game at night, though. I still want that at night. Just need as much 2014 Nebraska-Miami vibes as we can. Now, we talked about this in the crossover. I feel like we should do this. Are we going to do the draft, the mock draft?
I can ask the boys in the midday.
I feel like we need to.
I think Matt already on his blog has done the draft.
He's doing the heavy work for us right now.
I'd take UTEP at night. I'd take Colorado at 2:30. I know people want a night game. But to have a CBS window to play the game on 2:30, it'll be harking back to the old days.
It would be. It'd be fantastic. In fact, back in the Big 8, the early 90s, you'd see that one on CBS. You'd get the jingle and everything. It was fantastic. Let's live that again.
All right, A-Hole of the Week, Amy Just, coming up next. It's Mornings with Sharp.
The way you just said it. How about with Amy Just?
She told me on Saturday, she'll say this when she joins us here in a little bit. She goes, I got to go on another show. So she went on the No Block, No Rock podcast.
Yeah.
And you can swear.
Yes, you can.
I said, I heard. like just dropping. She goes,
They try to get you. I've been on it once, and they try to see if they can get you to do it. Because I think Mitch Sherman was on before I was, and that they said that was their goal, is to get
Mitch's
him.
Mitch's mouth is filthy. Mitch is like them effing.
He's the bride of Gretna.
Those effing Gretna people.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I'm all Gretna East.
Yeah. Well, he's.
You don't mess with our MFers.
He's like the Dan Band.
No, I mean, some people that you don't think are swears, cussers.
You get them off into their element. It's impressive.
How about that? Effing Raiola. I think that was the question that led into Rule.
They say in positivity. See, that's what we need to do. We need to start adding that into questions.
How about that effing quarterback you got? Amy Just from the Journal Star joins us next on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. And Nick Grimm.
Hello.
On 1620 The Zone.